What's going on, Packers fans? Aaron Nagler here with Bill Schmid with another edition of Carry the G Radio, the podcast, post-draft edition. Billy, it was great to talk to you guys during the draft. How are you feeling after the draft?
Well, I'm finally caught up on sleep, so I feel good in that respect, because that's a long 3 days. But Nags, first off, thanks for popping on with us. That was amazing. And
it was a good run, man. It was a good convo. We had a lot of fun.
Dude, it was so cool getting to hear, one, Wayne Larrabee, voice of the Packers, just shitting all over your trademark of Nagler's never right. Because, I mean, it felt like through the entire time, Aaron, you're so right. Aaron, you're so right. And the chat was like, this might not be great for the brand if Nags continues to have things that are correct. And then you drop Jagger Burton on us. He ends up getting picked like 4 minutes after you dump off.
But how great was that?
Hilarious time.
You asked, like, who do you like? Who do you want? And I'm like, well, Jagger Burton's my real draft crush here. And then boom, they pull the trigger on him.
They pull the trigger on it. It's the one of obviously a position that I'm going to fall in love with when you're talking about positional versatility up front. And also something that, I mean, we talked about throughout that conversation that we've talked about since Denver and Chicago, that they added something, whether or not it's a small, minute little deal, they grabbed a little nasty up front. And I don't think you can ever have too much of that.
Absolutely, man. Anybody who's watched this channel, listen to us at all here on Carry the G Radio, knows how much I love this guy. You and I actually discussed him, I want to say like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I thought your point was spot on. It's something I've parroted essentially since you said it, was, you know, yes, their offense, they being Kentucky, was a tire fire, but man, every game, week in, week out, he brought it like consistently and played at a very high level against top flight competition in the SEC. So that was kind of my introduction to the guy. Like, I had started kind of watching him, but the more you watch, the more you realize, like, man, he was holding that ship together almost on his own, you know? Mm-hmm. And like I said, week in and week out, didn't matter the opponent. I love his style of play. You mentioned the versatility. You can legit play him all three spots along the interior. I do think, and we've talked about it, I'll reiterate it until this summer when we get out there at Ray Nitschke Field, he's got a shot to not only compete to be the backup center. I think he's got a shot, if he's given an opportunity, to win the job outright. We'll see, but you know, there's ways to go, but that's how good I think he can be.
Well, and Nags, I think the other part of it is, like, they, as much as we'll hear it beat to death for the next number of months of, we're looking for the best five. We're looking for the best five. That's a fluid situation. We're looking for the best five.
In all reality,
it is the best five, and you don't know who that is, right? You have an idea as to who they definitely want to be the best five. Yes. But I think outside of right tackle, which is also a question because of availability, might be your best ability there.
Right.
I think it's fair to question all five spots pretty openly, that there could be a possibility for somebody to overtake if there's a true competition for the best five. So I just think he's an additive wherever he ends up. And it also allows, which, you know, they weren't able to address. I'm not going to say they didn't, because the amount of offensive tackles that I thought were NFL caliber were all far long gone.
Crazy.
By the time they got up there.
Yeah.
Nags, they at least now will put themselves in a position where Anthony Belton does not have to be a guard, and that he might have to end up being your swing tackle, because who ends up knowing how ready Zach Tom is out of the gates? And in how well Jordan Morgan performs over at left tackle. So it is good. It sets up for a very interesting month of August.
It's interesting too, because you talk about, and it's funny, you make that pull, the, oh, you know, best five available. Who are the best five? Who are we going to play the best five? I'm here to tell you, I don't think they played the best five coming out of the gate last year after we saw what we saw day in and day out during training camp. And you can't tell me that, you know, Morgan wasn't the better guy at left tackle. Mm-hmm. And I know Walker, you know, it's hard to lose your job to injury, but that's how, you know, Morgan finally got some run there at left tackle with the ones, and I thought he looked really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, they like to pay lip service to that, but we'll see how that actually transpires, you know. And
every
you're not wrong. The other part, too, is with Burton. Yeah, I think he pushes everybody, right? Like, I think you're talking about Anthony Belton. I suspect they probably do start him at guard to begin with, but if Burton's balling out, I'm sure they'll run him there a little bit, and maybe he pushes him. just as well as he pushes Sean Ryan. Like, there's every possibility there.
Everyone's open. And Wayne couldn't stop talking about running into Anthony Belden and, like, legit not recognizing him. He's like, he had to apologize. He's like, I'm sorry, Anthony. I apologize. You look too dang good, right? Like, you lost too much weight at this point for me to understand. So, like, everybody's going to come in at best shape of their life season is upon us. It's coming up soon. Yep. Now it ends up as to what shape you are best in and what one we can put you into square peg, round hole to try all to that. Fit the best five, because they've clearly, it's just the one spot where it was so obvious as to where they needed to get better. And I don't necessarily know that it's clear and obvious as to how they've gotten better outside of internal improvement. And Burton clearly is an additive in that group.
Well, that was the thing, though. We knew this coming out of camp last year, right? I mean, the interior offensive line was a problem, you know, and certainly this helps address that. It is just one player. It's a rookie. You are going to be asking other guys, Travis Glover, et cetera, to come in and hopefully continue to develop. But yeah, man, they obviously need to play better, more cohesively across the front, and hopefully this talented rookie comes in and does push a couple people, you know, because that is certainly, they are in need of that.
And they're also like, and not to set the internet ablaze with a comment that people will just grab onto and not think of the whole context, but like, the best addition they could get is actually the Aaron Banks that they thought they were acquiring, right? Like,
well, it'd be nice,
big,
right?
Physical mauler who doesn't start in pads with a groin and a back, right? Like, yes. So a healthy version of him to put his best foot forward, that was probably the best offensive lineman that they could have acquired this offseason. So nice. I'm excited to see how version. That plays.
No question. Let's flip it over to the defensive side of the ball and the selection of Brandon Cisse, a kid who, I mean, is extremely young, right? 20 years old. Love his upside. I had a lot of folks in our chat, I don't know about you guys over there, but man, we had a lot of folks talking about, oh, he's going to come in and start right away and all this. And I'm like, I think he's going to be given opportunities. He'll certainly be in the mix, a rotational type kind of situation. But man, you're just going to go out and you're going to start a 20-year-old in an NFL game in week one. I get it, man. He's talented, undeniable upside. Mm-hmm. Love his attitude. I love that it doesn't appear too big for him, all the physical aspects of the game. But, man, I don't know. I think it's going to be, you know, not an uphill battle, but I do think it's going to be a little tougher than people suspect.
Well, and I think that it also, from just the experience standpoint, I think it would be almost safer to say that Damani Jackson plays earlier than Brandon Cisse, because he covered wide receivers in the SEC for an additional year and a half, right? Like, that's an additional 16 games. But Cisse, similarly to Burton, played on a team that was cheeks for the majority of the year, and that didn't stop the competitiveness. So I love what he's about. But I'm with you that there's a development curve that's going to get highlighted. And if you are an ultra confident corner, you better be extremely confident when you walk in. And if you're going to play within the first month and a half that you're on an NFL roster and you're 21 years old, that confidence gets tested within the first 3 weeks, because you're going to get burned. You're going to get cooked multiple times. And how quickly are you able to turn the page and flip it over? But from all like the little bits of things, you can tell that he's built with a lot of the right stuff, right? I think one of my favorite parts was that we're highlighting the fact that he hugs all of his family and then the girlfriend that was right next to him. I like that ML football is going that deep into the
do yourselves a favor, calls. World, everybody on earth, please mute or block ML football, Dov Kleinman, just get rid of all those things in your life. And I'm not saying that to you, Billy, but I'm just saying, people, this is your world will be improved exponentially if you just get rid of that stuff out of your social feed, out of your life. The world will be a better place.
But then I wouldn't have seen, you know, him obviously clearly respecting his elders, clearly respecting everybody. He's raised right was the tag right underneath there, right? right after, you know, picking up everybody else's dishes. You see a competitive, big, long corner that is appealing, because they also, they brought in St. Juice for a reason. It's not to carry pads.
For me, that's his main competition.
He would be built for is
that's his main season. Competition on the perimeter, right? I mean, as far as being an outside guy who is, you know, tough, not afraid to get in receivers' faces and things like that. St. Juice is going to play a bunch of special teams. They like his makeup, and I think he's going to get every opportunity early in camp and probably in the season. But, you know, Billy, here's the gnawing, kind of annoying, kind of back of my brain thing that I keep coming. Like, would you be surprised if, like, say we get through camp and there is a very, you know, good battle at corner and everyone's like, oh, yeah, every day it's a different guy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then we get out there week one and it's Carrington Valentine across from Keyshawn Nixon.
I would not be surprised at all.
No. I wouldn't either, and that makes me upset. Because it so clearly needs to be somebody else, but I again, I would not be surprised if we end up there.
Now, you would be able to correct my memory a little bit better. Carrington comes in his first start when he was a rookie was against the Chiefs kind of timeline, right?
So, yes.
So, I mean, that's 3 months in, right? Now, that's a seventh-round pick 3 months in, and it felt like at the time, you're kind of beating down the door to say, like, hey, man, we watched this guy. He was dominating and on Ray Nitschke Field. Can we get him some reps? I think that's more of the timeline that they're going to bring these two guys along at. Yes. And so it definitely does. It also still opens up and keeps my positioning open that I don't know that it's corner. I don't know that it's Trayvon Diggs that everybody asks about, or if they're bringing this guy back or they're bringing him in. Mm-hmm. They are going to sign 1 to 2 vets within the next week. I had said it on the radio yesterday, within the week, they would sign a singular vet. NFL movement has been a little bit slow. I think everybody's trying to figure out what's going
on. Starting to pick up though today. We got the Calais Campbell signing with the Ravens, which there goes that dream. But
I was going to say, there goes our pipe dream. But
I think you'll see slow mature is coming. Yeah, no doubt. And you're right. I do expect they'll make a signing or two. Now, I don't think it's going to be anything to blow the doors off the place, but you know, just round out the roster a little bit. We've talked. I think it could be a corner. It could be a defensive tackle, like a nose tackle type. I think that's entirely possible. But we'll see. We'll see how it transpires. But speaking along the defensive line, Chris McClellan, I got to admit, is a guy I did not watch intensely throughout the process. But since he has now been selected as a member of the Green Bay Packers, I really like the player. I do worry that he may get lost in the wash a little bit early on. I think, you know, it's going to be a process. It always is along the defensive front, especially a defensive tackle. And they clearly like him for his athleticism and his ability to play up and down the line. And I think he probably will give them a little pass rush juice, which is great, especially along the interior. But I got to think, I'm holding my breath on the early down stuff. And if he is out there and they give him opportunities on early downs, can he hold up? I don't know, man. I think he's going to get road graded by some folks in the NFL.
Well, there will be some welcome to the NFL moments, especially in the trenches. You get those a lot more. Now, the nice thing is many a time they're not as highlighted, right? They don't generally end up. Now, some of them can end up in 25 yard touchdowns up the middle when you get pushed off to the right side and they get up to the second level and it's untouched.
We don't want to talk about that.
But for the majority of the time, you kind of cover up a lot of those welcome to the NFL moments. I was with you. I didn't see him as much of an early down player right out of the gates. I see him much more as a pass rush guy.
Yep.
And that can be a very, very fun pairing if you are able to have Hargrave and Wyatt and McClellan all on the field together with a Micah Parsons. That's a fun front four that teams are going to have to put up with. And I think in the run game side, that's where they clearly still need a beef eater. That's clearly where they still need to find somebody that does what they anticipated and hope Stackhouse did last year. And like, that's where it's flipping it back over to the corner. Like, they've clearly been open to, hey man, we're counting on Nazir Stackhouse, undrafted free agent, to be playing a ton, right? We're counting on this guy to be playing a ton.
Develop. Hopefully.
But I think they've learned some of those lessons. And I think that's the balancing act that you've noticed, especially this offseason more than any other nags of like, we want to bring in young competition. Nothing bad about adding a vet, though. Nothing bad about having a couple of vets that can take these guys around the league to, again, by the time he hits week 9, 10, 11, what I anticipated they were doing with Matthew Golden, which was kind of trying to temper the workload. Again, this is the longest year of these guys' careers. Now, McClellan didn't play into the bowl game, didn't play into the college football playoff, but he's still going to be playing the most games in a 16-month stretch that he ever did before, especially up front. That's going to take a toll. So it's going to be – they're going to have to ease him in to being able to at the end of November, early December, hopefully still be being his best and getting better, because that was one of the reasons why they loved him, was they felt like he continued to get better throughout the year.
What did you make of Gutekunst talking about new boy DDS? We got the dentist in the house.
Yes.
Dennis Sutton. The fact that he openly admitted that was the player he was trying to trade up for the night before and wasn't successful, didn't get another day two pick, but landed him on day three. I mean, I see the upside. I totally get it. But this is another guy where I think I see so many kind of proclamations in the fandom already, like, oh, this guy's going to do this, that, or the other thing. It's like, again, man, I still see a guy, it's going to take a bit. I don't think he's going to come out of the gate smoking. Like, I think it's going to be a process.
I think he has the best opportunity to be. Now, let's be honest.
Well, especially
the
one with Micah not playing right away, right? You know,
definitely. Well, and also he's more of watching way more Penn State than they deserved this year, right? Like, is that a fair way of saying it?
Totally. Absolutely.
Because they were brutal. However, he was one of the lone bright spots because you could see effort on every single play. And again, this is not a, you know, orange slices conversation that like effort is going to win you a lot of games, but you can show a certain want to and a competitiveness that others struggled to match on a day in and day out basis at Penn State. Is that fair? Like there
totally
was
fair,
once their season slid down the back of the dinosaur, you could see late into the year, 33 was giving it everything every single time. So I think he's close. I also think he's closer to the player that he's going to be,
right,
with maybe a higher floor, lower ceiling, and a little bit more of a known commodity where he's going to have to play a bunch of snaps, right? Like he's going to have to play. I don't know if maybe Jonathan Gannon finally knocks into the head of Matt LaFleur, like, hey, maybe our defensive linemen play more than 65% of the snaps.
What a concept.
Maybe we play our best players like 85% of
the good guys a lot.
Because I don't know that it was Jeff Hafley. I don't know that it was Mike Pettine. I definitely don't think it was Joe Barry. I think it's the head coach, because they still work for the head coach. So until that changes, they need somebody to play, 35% of the defensive snaps there at defensive end. So he's going to have the most opportunity. I think him and Sorrell are also a nice little complement.
Sorrell is going to be so fascinating.
Because I think they're a little different types of rushers, which might be a really good complement to each other.
It could be. Well, we'll see. Again, I do think it'll take some time, but I like the upside, and I'm with you. He's going to be counted on early, whether that he's ready or not, simply because of the missing Parsons for essentially a month to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, how were you when they traded up for the kicker at the end of the sixth round, and you knew, hey, it's a six-man draft class, my work here is done?
Well, I was quite pissed, to be honest with you, because we were urging and asking Brian Gutekunst to do this for a number of minutes to trade back up, because we got off the air negs like 4.5 minutes before they traded up for Trace Mack. Media starts with me, and we had been asking Goody to make the trade up while we're on the air. So we can get the action, so we can get the reaction, so we can smack this thing in the mouth and tell everybody about who's going to be kicking field goals. I loved it. I'll be honest with you. I'm completely unfamiliar with Trace Mack's game. I know that I think it was Goody said, our guys scout kickers every year. All right.
I know, right? Like
our guys go.
The answer was hilarious.
Every kicker every year, and they know what they're looking for. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know about the leg swing power that you're getting here from the kicker spot. All I know is I like the energy my man has.
Yes.
I like the little bit of competitiveness.
Yep.
And I can already hear the cliches of, first off, kicker named Trey. What are we kicking? Trays. Perfect. Right. That's like having a corner 3-point shooter named Trey.
What does he do with the ball? Initially. What is the action he does? What does he have to do with the ball?
If indeed, Nags, he lays one good hit on somebody.
Oh my gosh.
One good hit on somebody.
That highlight will live forever.
You got smacked is going to take over from You Got Mossed. So I'm
going to have a new t-shirt at Cheesehead TV. I can't wait.
I'm very excited for. So I like the fact that the last pick is the one that we are going to discuss the most, bar none, of any of these guys in 26.
Yeah, well,
the most important player.
Especially this summer at training camp. We're back, Billy. We're back to tracking kicking competitions. We can't wait.
Someday we'll get to just be able to talk about real football, but instead we get to talk about kickers one more time.
And you know, I'm looking forward to it. Bill Schmidt here on Cheesehead TV, Carry the G Radio, the podcast. Billy, always appreciate the time. I'll talk to you next week, man.
See you, buddy.